It's Morning Edition on KUT. I'm Jennifer Staten. Tomorrow is Election Day. One of the positions up for vote is an empty seat on the Texas Railroad Commission. But when people vote for railroad commissioner, do they even know what they're voting for?
Probably not, Jen.
Okay, as you just heard, I've got Mose Bushell, KUT's energy and environment reporter, here with me. And Mose, could you explain what this agency does?
Yeah, sure thing. The three-member Railroad Commission of Texas actually regulates oil and gas in the state. It also regulates pipelines. It referees conflicts between drillers and landowners and between energy companies. It does a lot of other stuff, too.
So what's their regulatory reputation? How strongly do they actually control what's going on?
Well, you could say they have a reputation of having a light touch on regulations, but that hasn't always been the case. In a strange way, the agency's more heavy-handed past relates exactly to what's happening right now in the oil and gas industry with all the low prices that we've been enjoying.
Okay, but then explain that for us.
So before we go back in time, here's what's happening now. The Organization of Petroleum Exporting Countries, OPEC, they noticed that the U.S. fracking boom, a lot of it here in Texas, that was cutting into their business. So to clip the wings of U.S. producers, OPEC's flooded the global market. And that sent oil prices through the basement. So when you filled up your car, you've probably noticed.
Oh, yeah, it's great.
So not for oil companies. In fact, to counteract OPEC's control over prices, the U.S. even lifted its longstanding ban on exporting crude oil. Here's how University of Texas government professor David Prindle explains it.
We're all in a situation in which, in order to protect themselves and falling prices, everybody wants to produce more, but the production of more makes prices fall faster. It's what game theorists call a prisoner's dilemma, that everybody pursuing their own interest means everybody's interest falls.
And he says, strangely enough, we've seen this movie before.
Well, okay, and no joke, we actually have a movie clip.
As the flood of oil from East Texas drove prices down, oil became cheaper than water, 10 cents a barrel.
This is an old documentary called Wildcatter, a story of Texas oil. It's not the most dramatic read, but it tells a crazy story about the oil boom in the 1930s. That's when overproduction from East Texas flooded the market.
Well, kind of like what we're seeing today.
Yes.
Major producers, seeing their profit margins cut, turned to the state for protection.
And the agency they turned to? None other than the Railroad Commission of Texas. It had ordered smaller producers to stop pumping so much oil.
Did they?
No, they didn't. They kept pumping away. So Texas Governor Ross Sterling declared East Texas to be in a state of insurrection. Get out the popcorn.
He declared martial law and sent National Guard troops to shut the field down. Oil prices would rise, some said, at the point of a bayonet.
And rise they did, all because oil production was regulated. And that went on for decades. The Railroad Commission, working with other states, controlled production with the effect of controlling prices through the 60s.
Okay, well, that sounds really familiar.
Yes.
OPEC was explicitly modeled on the Texas Railroad Commission.
I've never heard that before. That is totally new to me.
I know, isn't that nuts? It's a crazy history.
Yeah.
So that's David Prindle again. He says in the 1950s, the oil minister of Venezuela wanted to start a cartel for oil exporting countries. So
he hired the chief engineer of the Railroad Commission named Jack Baumel to come to Venezuela and show him and then show the oil minister of Saudi Arabia how it was done. And so the OPEC, which started with Venezuela and Saudi Arabia and then spread to Nigeria and many others.
That's how OPEC started. And the rise of OPEC, ironically, kind of marked the end of the Railroad Commission's power over prices.
Okay, well, why?
Well, in part because OPEC controls more market share. And that's exactly what they've been trying to protect by keeping prices low.
Okay, this is so fascinating. But so walk me through this a little bit more. So just out of curiosity, does the commission still have the power to regulate production from wells?
Yes, they do, but they don't really do it with the market in mind anymore.
All right, so we've heard that slice of what the Railroad Commission does. What else is it supposed to do?
So we touched on this a little bit at the beginning. They referee disputes between landowners and drillers. They regulate drilling. They regulate pipelines. So they really are the go-to agency for oil and gas in the state.
Okay, so no railroads.
No railroads. That's important to know.
No railroads.
Yeah.
But I think it is fair to say that the Railroad Commission has been, over time, it's been the focus of controversy from time to time. Now, why is that?
And again, that kind of goes to their dual role. Are they a watchdog? Are they a regulator? Are they really an agency meant to promote the industry? Well, they would say they're kind of both, but a lot of people look at that and they scratch their heads. Can you really do both things at the same time?
Well, that's a tough call to be both of those simultaneously. But what it makes me wonder is, so right now, what do low oil and gas prices mean then for the commission?
During the time of the boom, the commission was overworked. You know, they issue permits. They were very busy as all this drilling was going on. Now that there's a slowdown, that's really been on the minds of a lot of the candidates running for the commission this year. How do you come into this role during a slowdown or maybe even a bust?
So tell me about the people who want to walk into that challenge. Tell me about the people running for Railroad Commission.
Okay, we have a really crowded field on the Republican side. We have about 8 candidates.
And it's for this open seat.
Yeah. And this speaks a little bit perhaps to the notion the Railroad Commission is often viewed as a good launch pad for a political career. Historically, it maybe hasn't been such, but people look at it that way. So 8 people on the Republican side, we have 2 Democrats, and then we have a candidate who's a Libertarian and then a Green Party candidate.
All right. So all these candidates, what have they been talking about then during this election?
One thing that always comes up is the way railroad commissioners finance their campaigns. One of the reasons the agency may have a kind of a bad reputation is that people who serve as railroad commissioners, they take campaign contributions from the very oil and gas companies that they are supposed to be regulating. Now, a lot of people look at that and say it is a conflict of interest on its face and they want to change it. Hasn't changed yet.
Okay, so Mose, we've been hearing about Railroad Commission, what commissioners do, their role in the oil and gas industry in Texas. But I don't have anything to do with the oil and gas industry in Texas.
Right.
So why should I care about what they're doing?
The Texas economy is very strongly linked to the oil and gas industry, and the state tax revenues are very strongly linked. So that's important for everybody to pay attention to. On top of that, the commission deals with things like private property rights, eminent domain disputes, if a pipeline wants to go through your land. There are any number of reasons why a voter should pay attention to who's running for this seat, even if they don't have a stake in an oil company.
Okay, a very basic question, the name, the Railroad Commission.
Yes.
If it's not about railroads, why can't they just change the name to be like the Oil and Gas Commission?
Right. Well, this comes up every legislative session. And I've been told by even a former commissioner told me whenever it comes up, the industry, he said, raises Cain. They like the name the way it is. Some people might say that they prefer a name that is a little more obscure so that people aren't paying very close attention.
Well, thank you for paying close attention, Mose, to the Railroad Commission in Texas. We appreciate that. I want to remind everybody that tomorrow is primary voting day in Texas. Polls will be open from 7 a.m. until 7 p.m. And be sure to tune in tomorrow night on KUT for Super Tuesday election results, returns, and analysis from NPR and KUT. That'll start tomorrow night at 7. I'm Jennifer Staten.
And I'm Mose Bouchel.
KUT News.